B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No surgery for Chris Sale. For now.
Whew.
For now.
Dodged a bullet there.
No, you didn't. Nobody did. It's nonsense. It really is. I don't know if you saw. I think it was Ken Rosenthal's tweet.
Yeah, 5:30 yesterday.
Here's how he tweeted it out. Chris Sale not expected to undergo Tommy John surgery at this point, source tells The Athletic. Don't you find that to be interesting at this point? At this point, which means at what point do they do the Tommy John surgery?
He doesn't want it. I think they kept looking until they found somebody that told them, you know what, don't do it. I don't think this is comparable to David Price stuff where you don't have a unique elbow. I think this guy's actually feeling pain. And I remember when Steve Grogan ended up getting cut here, and you get to a point where you got to have the surgery done because I had the same damn tendonitis. And it felt like they stick a freaking fork in your elbow every time you throw. And until you shave that bone down, that tendon's going to just keep rubbing and rubbing and rubbing, or that's going to pop off the bone until you get it fixed. This guy throws basically solder. And to look at his body makeup. You imagine the amount of torque he puts on those tendons, those muscles. He doesn't have muscles. It's like all tendon and bone. That was like the flu, pneumonia. And now it's this. It's one thing after another with him.
Ron Renicki, according to Pete Abe, acknowledged that the Red Sox will be holding their breath with Sale. And they hope that it works. And that basically he'll rest and see if that helps. I have a question.
Sure.
What the hell's he been doing for the last 6 months? Oh. What does that mean? He's going to rest. Rest from what? The season hasn't even begun yet.
They knew it. It's almost like they need him just to help bolster names in that rotation because they knew they wanted to get rid of Price. Like, we need Chris Sale here. Like, keep this guy active. Do what we got to do to keep this guy up there. If he needs rest, give him more rest. We need him around. We need the name. Jesus, his contract just kicked in.
Yeah, he last pitched in a baseball game on August 13th.
Oh!
So what's he been doing since August 13th of last year?
Working out.
Does anyone want to answer that question? What does he need rest for? His elbow hurts. It's problematic.
Chronic. It's called chronic. Yeah.
This isn't happening in August again where the guy's breaking down after pitching every 5 days.
You know what, Beetle? Two more weeks.
He hasn't pitched since August.
I don't know. A little Advil, a little Naprosyn. I mean, that it might take the swelling down a little bit.
So this is what they're going to do. They're going to hold their breath. They're going to cross their fingers. They're going to try and get him out there. And when they do, they're going to pitch him until his arm falls off somewhere around July. And then they're going to go send him for the Tommy John. I just wonder who's pushing for him to pitch. Is it him or is it the team?
So instead of missing a potential year, he's going to potentially miss 2 years. If you can even go backdate it to August, if you knew something was bad.
If you have surgery now, you're missing two seasons.
Right.
Two full seasons. If you're having surgery in the summer months, you're missing the remainder of that season plus the following season.
Right.
Which would have made a lot more sense for them to send him for that surgery last August.
So he'd be ready.
When he was hurt.
Next year. You miss 1 year.
Miss one full season.
And you come back better, maybe even stronger.
But you can't do that when your team just signed him to a stupid contract extension. I mean, stupid in so many ways.
Oh, damaged goods. Ooh.
What a horrible contract this will end up being for the Red Sox. Disastrous, as it always. Why have they been in this position so many times?
And you know what? You know, and I've heard this too. And you see some of the comments. Well, what a championship for it. The contract was signed after the championship.
Oh, did he?
So it had nothing to do with sucking it up, holding your breath, signing him to it, winning that championship, and then he falls apart the next year. No. He won a championship with you. Then you signed him to it. Then he fell apart that year. So it had nothing to do with the new contract. New contract kicks in now. Now's where you start to keep score. But you can't throw that championship in your face.
I mean, I guess his...
Was he available for comment or anything?
His World Series performance was just so great that
you, remember
you
that
won a championship. You didn't win a championship because of Chris Sale. Let's not kid ourselves.
That's your closer.
Yeah. He had like one real start in that postseason, or one start where he actually lasted in the game.
I think like first for future sake, can you like, or can you even have a $28, $29 million closer? Some people have suggested that. Oh, make him the closer.
It's not like it was David Price in 2018
oh,
that won you a championship.
As your MVP.
Yeah, I guess Chris Sale was on a championship team. Okay. And? Foolish contract. Major mistake by the Red Sox and their owner, John Henry, who was for it. Who was all about that contract getting signed. Didn't want to repeat the mistakes of John Lester. Oh, it's so bad. Hurt themselves and will continue to hurt themselves with this guy's salary on their roster, and he's inevitably going for the Tommy John surgery. So I'm sorry, the no surgery for Chris Sale, I don't think it means anything. Okay, it's more like we're going to delay the inevitable.
But like every news outlet this morning, whether it was Fox, whether it was ABC, whether it was WBZ, Red Sox dodge a major.
Well, they don't know any better.
Lead story.
They don't know any, but you expect
Sox fans breathing a sigh of relief today.
No, they're not. Those people don't know anything. No disrespect to any of you. Respect all of you and the work you do. But when it comes to the sports department, you guys don't know bleep. You rarely do. You rarely know anything. Prompter readers.
Right.
That read whatever some, you know, producer, some news producer put in there about the sports.
Right. Like, Red Sox fans excited today to hear the news on Chris Sale.
Got that this morning. Like, wow.
And that's, I'm not going about the news people, not
right.
The sports people.
Right, right,
the
correct. People. Yeah. Head anchors, morning
yeah.
anchors.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Useless.
I get my information here.
You do?
Yeah.
On sports?
I came in excited today. I'm like, hey, Red Sox fans are excited now.
Well, then you're an idiot too.
I'm joking. Stop it. I sat there and laughed. This is great.
617-779-0985. Chris Sale spoke in Fort Myers a short time ago. We have the sound of it.
Oh.
I want to hear from the man himself. He must be in a great mood. Maybe he watched the morning news and said, yeah, let's all breathe a sigh of relief.
Whew.
You'll hear from Sale next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports hub.
Let's hear from Chris Sale, the man himself.
Yeah, let's talk some baseball.
Let's hear from the Red Sox pitcher who is going to give it a try. Going to go out there and pitch at some point. Doesn't know when.
Now, Zoe's taken issue with what he said already this season because he didn't like him saying it was a gut punch.
It's not just this year. It's the buildup of all the
Maybe he'll be a little more. Maybe he'll be a little more measured in his his comments. I don't know what's going to set you off anymore. So we'll just listen to it. Maybe this won't set you off at all.
This is about as a tough situation as I've ever been in. You know, I was able to get through most of my career doing what I love to do and helping my team win. And for sure, you know, over last year and up to this point, I've done nothing but fall flat on my face. So that's a gut punch.
Bang.
It's tough.
Oh, he's special.
It's a gut punch.
They got a live one here, George.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't hate him. You know what it is? It's the it started with Beckett with me, and then it shifted over to Clay Buchholz. I was rooting for them to bring Buchholz back because then it's like, then you hate watch. Like, you want to see this guy just get rocked. It's just the delivery and the comment. It's the same. Like, okay, we get it. You're a team guy. It's gut punch. You want to be out there. You want to be there for your teammates. But when each instance happens and happens and happens, and it's like a broken record.
It's a gut punch. It's a tough realization.
Right.
But I've said it time and time again. I have no time to hang my head or, you know, sit in a corner and pout. I got work to do, and I got an uphill battle to climb, but I got my climbing shoes on, so.
Oh, where would you get climbing shoes, Hardy? Would you go to that EAS or EMS?
Yeah, I'd probably go to, like, Eastern Mountain Sports. I like Merrells.
Yeah. Like, you did stuff for Carhartt, too. I remember that. Like, do they sell climbing shoes there?
I don't know. More the hiking boots, work boots.
What about those Carhartt. Cool, like, I loved going to, like, L.L. Bean and stuff, and when you see the what do they call those, tether clasps, the hooks?
Carabiners.
Get a couple of those.
Yeah.
Still water bottles, because you never know, like, you get stuck on the side of that mountain when you're climbing it. Man, I need some water. And then you get, like, one of those ice pick things, like, never know when you see ice. And you
ice axe.
Stick the ice axe
right
in.
Sure.
You get one of those mountain yaks there, those rams on the side, and they got the horns. You might have to kill one of them with the ice pick.
Man. But as long as you got the proper footwear.
Hey, I got my climbing shoes on.
Start climbing, man. It's like Maverick when he, you know, when Goose went down. Get him back up there. Got to get him back up in the plane.
Which, credit to him. I mean, losing Goose was real.
That's a gut punch.
Yeah.
The hits keep coming.
I got my climbing shoes on, so I'll be ready to roll.
Your whole career, people have talked about how you throw. And has this been in the back of your mind that something like this could happen at some point?
No, because you know, people have been telling me this is going to happen for years, and I don't know, you know, if they get to say I told you so, or if I made it long enough to where that's, you know, dissolved. I'm not worried about that. I can't read the future. All I can do is work my ass off to get back out there as soon as possible, whenever that might be.
Wrong.
To your point,
no,
Beal.
Wrong. You can't do any work to make this better.
To your point, what
he
has
doesn't
he done
get it.
Since August 13th?
He doesn't get it. Like, this
done?
Isn't about you putting in hard work. No one's questioning your ability to do hard work.
Nope.
Like, from all indications, this guy does bust his, like, chops. Like, no, that's wrong. Excuse me.
He busts his balls.
Butt. To go out and work hard. This is what it's about.
Got
it is what it is,
lazy.
But he just said it.
Work
no, it's not.
Yes, he's going to work his ass off.
You can't work your ass off to fix this. You got to go under the knife, dude. Get it fixed.
So
and then and then work your ass off in a rehab. Like, that's what you got to do.
That's a gut punch.
No. Like, this isn't about you working hard.
What about staying physically fit?
I got my climbing shoes on.
He doesn't need that either.
Oh. I watched that free solo. The shoes do matter.
Let this guy go get his elbow fixed. Please, someone tell him to go fix it.
Work my ass off to get back out there as soon as possible, whenever that might be.
It's not
to
work
get back
ethic.
To doing what I'm supposed to do.
No.
You know, what this team needs me to do and what I'm expected to do.
Tommy John surgery is almost inevitable at this point because of...
Hold on. McAdams asking a question. If anybody needs to grab a cup of coffee or anything, now be the time to do it.
That's a good question.
I love Sean, but...
No.
The questions can't be long. We all ask long questions.
But
sometimes.
He did say inevitable. It seems Tommy John is inevitable.
Tommy John surgery is almost inevitable at this point because of the scares you had last August and September and more recently that... It's kind of hanging over your head and could happen at any time.
Absolutely. I mean, Tommy John's been a factor in my life for 20 years now. You know, so obviously...
I'm sorry, wait.
Whoa.
Pause. Hold on. I'm sorry.
What?
Tommy John's been a factor in his life for 20 years?
Absolutely.
What?
What's he got, a Tommy John sign hanging above his bed?
So since he was 10 years old, he's had the fear of Tommy John?
Hey,
20 years now?
Two best friends were Tommy and the other one was John. Hey, Tommy and John. Mark, have Tommy John over.
Tommy John's a friend of mine. What?
What is he? See, he's rambling here. This is where you start to get annoyed.
20 years.
I'm just trying to give you something here, man. Like Tommy.
20 years now?
Really?
You know, so obviously with these things happening.
Is he 60?
You know, it's on the table, but it's always been on the table.
Because you're at work right now. You want to play. The team needs you. Fans want you. And then the team's invested in you long term. So there's a line there, and you know they don't. You know they want you around for 3, 4, 5 more years. How are you dealing with that balance?
That's my biggest issue. That's what makes it tough to sleep. You know.
Oh, the later sleepless at night since August 13th.
How do they allow him medically to do this since the end of last year? To just go do you.
Chris, so I hear you've been snorting a lot of meth lately. Is that true?
That's what makes it tough to sleep, you know?
Yes, I know. I know.
All right, so that's Chris Sale. Is there more to that, or is that
like
pretty...
Like I said, I know what I mean to this organization. I know what I mean to this team, the success going forward. And I know the faith they put in me. That's evident in the press conference I had in spring training last year. And with the contract. And
oh,
I couldn't possibly feel worse about any situation I've ever felt in my entire life because of that.
Sale.
I don't think I've ever let anybody down this
hard,
ever.
You're letting us down by not going and getting your elbow fixed. Go get it fixed.
Words don't do it.
Like, you can't even pitch right now. It'd be different if you're like, yeah, I can go pitch, but it hurts like hell. Just go get it fixed. Please. Make sure you're completely healthy in 2 years.
But isn't that the worst case scenario, though, that we actually don't see any change and there's kind of nothing wrong, but you feel this pain? Like, that's not good.
Well, that means it's getting worse. It means it's eventually,
yeah,
he won't be able to pitch.
Yeah, but people are viewing this as best case scenario.
Best case scenario.
It's worse. It's actually worse.
Just go have the surgery, please. No one blames you for taking the money. We all would have taken the money. Good job by you and your agent.
So you're saying
he has to
shut down, do nothing, and have surgery and do nothing for like a year?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember a gut punch.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
punch,
it is.
Man. You know, gut punch. John Lackey, when his arm was falling off, we all sat here and we hammered that guy, and he sucked it up every day. Went out there and got you innings, and I think he ended up 11-7 that year.
Paul's in New Hampshire. Hey, Paul. Paul, you there?
Not absolutely.
There. Nope. Pat in the car. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, Pat?
I mean, it sounds like sometimes when you listen to Sale, he almost wants you to feel sorry for him, but now that I think of it, he's probably one of the smartest ones in the room. I mean, he's getting paid a ton of money for the next couple of years to sit around and watch his arm get better. But, I mean, who does that? They trade away Betts. They trade away Price, who was probably one of our best pitchers last year. Betts is the type of player that you put a team around. And they keep a broken-down Chris Sale, and they get Nathan Eovaldi, who's about a pitch away from blowing his arm out again. I mean, who do you blame?
Okay. You know what? I brought up Tony Clark because I thought it was interesting what he said, you know, a couple weeks ago when he was down at spring training for the Red Sox. He talked about that Yelich deal. I think it was, 9 for 215? It's kind of a head-scratcher where a small market team could get that done. And you got a big market team like the Red Sox that let that guy go to where he went. But didn't the Red Sox offer him 3 for 300 or 10 for 300? 10 for 300 is still more than what Yelich got, right? 9 for 215?
I got my climbing shoes on.
So, ten for 300. How much do you blame him for it? What's the ceiling? What is he actually going to get? People are looking at that Yelich deal and they're crediting them for getting it done. But yet you couldn't get it
done.
What
are we talking about?
Christian Yelich.
Don't say we. What are you talking about?
Right. Because I listened to Tony Clark and he's like, he's ripping the Red Sox for not getting Betts' deal done, but yet they offered him 10 for 300, which is more than what Yelich got, 9 for 215. So is he not doing math right?
Who would know that?
Think about that. Hey, we're hammering the Red Sox for getting rid of Betts. Maybe they were never going to be able to sign him.
Work my ass off to.
But now we get this.
I don't know what happened there for a second.
Damn coronavirus. You are much worse than the flu.
Achoo.
You can never make fun of me after that.
I told you it was bad. I told you yesterday it was bad.
Nah.
I went home last night and I made it worse.
Nah, you said like it's not bad. You said the tone was it was offensive. People are going to take offense to it.
Offense? I don't know.
Yeah, nobody took offense to that. They would said, wow, that's just like, that's something Tyler would put together. You tried, though. Like, you tried to keep adding on.
Yeah, go ahead, deflect some more from your
I'm trying.
Baseball contract ramble.
You're bailing them out, Hardy.
I had no idea. No one had any idea what the hell you were talking about.
How do you start thinking the amount
about,
of money spent on selling and bets, and then this kid gets it? Whatever. Never mind.
What?
It was incoherent thoughts.
No kidding.
Right. Play song again, Jim.
Hardy's going to have the headlines for us here. New concert coming to Fenway. We'll tell you what it is. Also, I did mean to tell you earlier an item on the NFL CBA as it relates to guaranteed cash.
Is the concert an older white guy?
I will give you all these details next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up. Because you were born this way, baby.
Assuming we're not all dead from coronavirus by August, Lady Gaga will be here at Fenway Park.
That's the best news of Fenway
August 5th.
Birthday present. My wife's birthday.
The 5th?
Day after 4th. I got a birthday on the 3rd and the 4th.
That's okay.
Sam then her.
4th, 5th.
Well,
that's a
Happy
Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
It's a Wednesday night.
She'd love this. Oh, she'd love to go to this. I'd love to go to this.
The Gaga is coming.
Beatles going. Beatle goes to everything.
I go to everything. This one, though, like, nah, I'd go for sure.
Of course
she's But coming. I don't want to pay to go.
She's white. She's coming. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Fenway Park is a haven for white people.
It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh.
White performers, that's where you want to go.
One night only?
As far as I know. I saw August 5th was the day.
Twice.
Yeah, one show as of right now. Yep. August 5th. Zote absolutely wants to go. Look at you. You're already excited about it. You really didn't know. You didn't know who it was.
I didn't know. I had no clue.
You hadn't seen that news today. I wanted to give you this news that we had emailed to us earlier. Before we get back to your call, 617-779-0985. We were talking about guaranteed money in the NFL and whether or not the Raiders could afford Tom Brady.
Right.
And what it would be. So $84 million is what was guaranteed. Thank you, Matt Johnson, for emailing. Emailed us an ESPN story that covers this. It's buried down the story, but it says, when Kirk Cousins signed, it was $84 million minus a $2 million deductible. So they had to put $82 million in escrow. The new rule under the new CBA changes the amount. The deductible goes from being $2 million to $15 million for the next 8 years. So it's whatever the guaranteed amount is minus $15 million. It's not a huge difference. You're talking a difference of $13 million. So if Kirk Cousins signed his $84 million deal under the new deal, what will be the CBA, the Minnesota Vikings wouldn't have to put $82 million into escrow. Mm. They'd have to put $69 million. million dollars into escrow. That's not a massive difference. It's a savings, but it's not huge. It's not like it goes to half.
Yeah.
And it's a set number. It's not a percentage. 15 million is not what it is. Which is, I shouldn't say it like that, because what if it's a deal that has $30 million guaranteed? Then it is half. If it's a deal that has $15 million guaranteed, now you don't have to put any of that money away. Okay. So it will be a big difference on smaller deals. It will not make a difference on the big quarterback deals. That's what I meant to say.
So there's going to be money there. There's going to be money in Tampa. There's going to be money. There's obviously money in Miami. They got the most. The problem is, I think the way this is starting to stack up, all these teams that have this money, the most guaranteed money that could offer it to Brady, are probably the teams he really doesn't want to go to. Does he really want to go to Tampa? Does he really want to go to Miami? Does he really want to go to Vegas? You know, one of the L.A. teams. You know, Chargers. Do you want to go stadium? We share a stadium with another team? And really, you're second fiddle in that town? I know he's the name and would be plastered all over billboards in L.A., but to go from this to what you have here to that, and I know it's not about the money for him, right? It's about what's around him, what we're supposed to really believe. Yeah, you know, wants to win. It's here in Tennessee. Two-team race. I think it's still a two-team race. San Fran. Come on.
Let's go to Joe in New Hampshire. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Zone
Hey.
B? Hey, I got a football question. I just saw that Jimmy Graham from Green Bay Packers is probably going to be released. Any chance in hell that we'd be able to get him or possibly getting Rob Gronkowski to come out of retirement next year? I'd also like to say that I love Tom Brady. I love him to stay here. He's been here 20 years. I love him to see him retire here. But if he doesn't, I understand it's a business. He's got to do what's best for Brady. Yeah. But I hope he can stay here. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Thanks. Okay, Joe, thanks.
So I know the Patriots put out a video on Twitter where Gronk was at the stadium and he surprised another one of these sick kids with a video game day. And you know, he hung out with them in a suite. There's still a relationship between the tight end and the team as far as using the facility, being around a facility. He's got Patriots gear on. He's giving his way his Patriots jersey. Are they trying to, I don't know, you know, Bill went to his party down to Super Bowl. Hey, come on in, use the facility whenever you need it for your foundation or all the stuff you do with the Children's Hospital or you know, Make-A-Wish and that. And, you know, they always do this with Rob. But he's still around. And that's not the first guy that said you know, is there a chance the tight end comes back? See, I think he's the same size as Jimmy Graham. So if you want Jimmy Graham, you still have Rob's rights. Bring him back and say, hey, okay, we don't need you as a blocking tight end. We're just going to use you in pass packages. It's really what they use Jimmy Graham for. I think you really need to go out and get a real tight end.
Jimmy Graham's base salary for next season is $7.45 million. Does that seem like a lot of money to you? If you could get Jimmy Graham for $7.5 million
and a meathead tight end, like blocking, like
leave it to Graham. Graham, yeah. Would you take Graham at $7.5 million next season?
Yeah, he got Mohamed Sanu for six.
What he was scheduled to make in Green Bay, they're reportedly going to cut him.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what I'm most impressed with about Jimmy Graham over the years?
What's that?
Games played.
See, I would say
for this.
He seems like a guy that's always hurt. So I'm interested in this number. Well, I remember when he was with the Saints, he had the banged up ankle. When he was a Green Bay, I think he had a shoulder.
Yeah, and you know what he did?
Every time he catches the ball, it looks like he's...
Do you know what he did when he had the banged up ankle?
Played.
And when he was in Green Bay, said that banged up shoulder was in Green Bay? He played through it.
Seattle played.
There's only one year where he missed multiple games in his career. One. 2015, he played 11 games. Here are the other games played by season, starting with his rookie year in 2010. 15, 16, 15, 16, 16, 11. And then the last 4 years, 16, 16, 16, 16.
So he's kind of the same age as Gronk.
He's not. He's older than Gronk.
But he doesn't have 34. The back surgeries. He doesn't have the knee surgeries, the elbow surgeries.
He's more of a receiver. He's not the Gronk type of tight end.
He's finesse. Yeah. Do you need a finesse pass catching tight end here? Yeah. Yeah. Need one of those badly.
Rob Gronkowski is about to turn 31, so he's got years on Gronk. He's almost 3 full years older.
Jesus.
But he plays. He's always out there. He's had 1 year where he had missed multiple games. One season.
It's the perception of, like, you know, it's just, he's a finesse guy. See, and that was always the comparisons with Gronk because he was so physical. Like, when Gronk played. This guy just, catches the ball, gets out of bounds. Or he goes down the middle, goes, elevates, catches it, doesn't take the hit.
We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:20. Chris Gasper has a column on the Patriots and where they are at with their discussion with Tom Brady and what it means about the roster. As he says, it's a referendum on the roster, how Bill Belichick handles Tom Brady. That got me thinking about a couple of things as it relates to Bill Belichick and where the Patriots will be at without Tom Brady if it happens. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Ladies and gents, turn up your sound system to the sound of Carlos Santana in the GMB product. Get away.
I was reading Chris Gasper's Globe column today about Bill Belichick, saying that Bill Belichick's approach to Tom Brady is a referendum on the roster. He writes, if Brady isn't in the fold, veteran free agents would be less likely to return to the Patriots and definitely less likely to take traditional Patriot brand equity discounts to do it. Looking ahead to next offseason, the advanced age of the roster really crystallizes, he writes. Among the players entering the potential final year of their contracts are linebacker Dante Hightower, who turns 30 this month, 36-year-old Steven Goskowski, Lawrence Guy, who turns 30 this month, Rex Burkhead, who turns 30 in July, Mohamed Sanu, who turns 31 in August, James Devlin, who will turn 32 in July.
With neck issues.
30-year-old running back Brandon Bolden, linebacker and defensive end John Simon, who will be 30 in October, James White, 28, Daron Harmon, 29, also entering the final years of their deals. He says, so what Belichick wants to do about Brady is really about a lot more than Brady. It's one piece, albeit a very significant one, in a larger mosaic, as BB is fond of saying. After watching his team wilt down the stretch of a 12-4 season, how much gas does Belichick think this iteration has left in the tank? Ultimately, it comes down to whether he believes Brady has enough pliability and viability left to help this team, and the team has enough left to help Brady as he enters his gridiron golden years.
I like how Gasper slid that in at pliability.
That's from Chris Gasper in the Boston Herald about the age of the roster. It's something we've talked about. Let me play this out then. Bill Belichick decides Brady's getting old, as is the entire roster, and it's time to start getting rid of these guys. It's time to get younger. This group doesn't have what it takes left anymore. We have to get younger. We can't keep going with the group. It's aged out. And last year, the end of the season, convinced me of it, and that was the sign. If he's saying this to himself and he wants a team to get younger, what's this team going to look like without Brady? And I would say, Zoe, that if Bill Belichick does decide to move on from Brady, that he will be facing his biggest challenge as head coach of the New England Patriots since he came on board in the year 2000. Now, you might say that's simplified. You didn't have Brady as quarterback then, and now you don't have Brady. No, I'm talking not just about Brady. I'm talking about the roster. When Bill Belichick inherited a roster in the year 2000 when he took over as Patriots head coach, there were guys on that roster like Ted Johnson and Teddy Bruschi, and there were guys like Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy. And Willie McGinnis. And if you were to look at that roster, I think you could say Troy Brown.
Otis Smith.
Yep. There were players on that roster that you look at and say, well, that was not a bad roster to inherit. Which roster would be better? The one that would be left after you move on from a bunch of guys that are in their 30s or the one that he had in 2000? Which one's easier to work with and build on? I would argue that the one in 2000, despite it being a 5-11 team, was a better roster than what he will have left in the coming year or two.
Who was your tight end? Who was your running back? You know, you go back to those days.
Oh, Kevin Falk. I mean, Kevin Falk was on the roster.
It was the yeah.
He's a Patriots Hall of Famer. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I knew that. He's the best. I think he's the best.
How many Patriots Hall of Famers were on that roster in the year 2000? Drew Bledsoe. Kevin Falk. Teddy Bruschi. Willie McGinnis. Ty Law. You're talking about a roster that in 2000 had half a dozen Patriot Hall of Famers on it.
And you've added guys like Rodney 2 years later to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terry Glenn was pretty good too.
He was pretty good, but I'm not even counting him because of how we know it went. But if you look at it in the, well, you didn't know how that was going to go with Terry Glenn at the start of the year.
From a talent.
You didn't. No, you're looking at the roster on paper going into the season, right?
Right.
You have to assume Terry Glenn's a Pro Bowl guy.
How much did he play in 2000? I don't recall. I know in 2001 he played, what, a game?
The best thing Belichick did when he arrived, he said, I'm wiping a slate clean with him, and he gave him a fresh start. And it just couldn't work with Terry. I'm trying to think. He had to play a bunch, right? Because he caught a couple balls from Brady in that 2000 year. Was it against San Diego? It was the San Diego game, right? The Colts-San Diego game? Terry had a couple.
It was.
He started all 16 games.
16
okay,
games.
Okay, Terry Glenn started 16 games in 163
targets.
Wow. Thank you.
Jesus.
So that roster
did
not suck.
No.
That team had its problems, no doubt about it. But that roster is probably better than anything he'll be left with in the coming year. In terms of stuff to build on, if you're sort of putting together your next group.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had still some pretty decent picks coming around there, too.
Yes, you had better draft position at that point in time.
Yeah, you don't have better draft position now. See, and that's a big question with Bill here in this whole situation.
Do we need to go through the coaching roster, too, of then versus now?
Oh, God. It's not. I don't think it's comparable.
Much better then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a better coaching roster, better building blocks than what he may end up having. And this is just a way of saying it will be the biggest challenge he's had in his Patriots coaching career. He'll be starting over with less than what he started with in the year 2000.
Yep. And I go back to some of those talks you have with some of those guys too that end up being Red Jacket guys, you know, Patriot Hall of Famers. They all recognize the beginning of when they all came together. And they said that was a special group. Like, we started all this. You know, you're all reaping the benefits of it now. You understand what it's like resetting and winning Super Bowls now. But don't forget, we were the building blocks of it. You know, those 90s teams, they really prided themselves in it. All those names you mentioned. Like, there was no tradition. You know, that they are the tradition. There's history there. That's what you bounce and compare stuff off of. That's why you sit here now and you look, wow, we're looking 20 years back. Oh, I've been those 20 years. Is that one guy under center for 20 years? And that's the problem.
Rob Ryan was the linebackers coach then. Pepper Johnson was still here. Eric Mangini.
Romeo that first year, though, right?
No, he wasn't. He didn't come to 01. Right. Eric Mangini was the defensive backs coach. Brian Daboll was the coaching assistant. The defensive line coach was Randy Melvin. Brad Seeley was here as the special teams.
Good core special teams guy.
And Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator.
Dante.
The guy that coached the quarterbacks is the guy that really was all about Tom Brady. That was Dick Rabine. Ivan Fiers was still here because Ivan Fiers is always here, as was Dante Scarnecchia. Dante was the offensive line coach and the assistant head coach.
And Jeff Davidson was on that staff, too. He got an offensive coordinator job down the road.
Yeah, he did.
He was an offensive line assistant is what he was on that staff.
His kids were such little punks. They came trick-or-treating one time, took all the candy.
Okay. I mean, there's a
good coach, though.
There's just a full roster of coaches on this staff that doesn't exist right now on this team. So the coaching staff was better.
Okay.
The building blocks were better. And it won't be as easy, I think, this time around.
Are we going to be able to, 20 years from now, look back at this coaching staff now and say the same type of things? Because we go back a year ago.
I just don't think they have the same numbers, though.
Yeah, I know.
They have fewer coaches on the staff.
It's almost like you're more dependent on one guy doing more things as opposed to you were so skill specific then. Like Greg Schiano was your defensive coordinator this time last year. You had no DC. You tucked Mayo out of Putnam. You know, to come back and coach. Be part of this. That's a totally different lifestyle, man. This guy's two kids up and running now.
Hardy has headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back with more on this. We'll talk to Brad Stevens at 12:20.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.